Condi Rice joined us again in the Situation Room. The president now wanted to be sure that we were all going to get some sleep. "I need you bright and fresh in the morning. Go home," she said. Rice made sure we understood. It was an order. I worried about her security if she planned to go back to her apartment in the nearby Watergate. So had the president. She was going to spend the night in the residence. After 1 a.m., I agreed to go home, briefly, to shower and change. Before I left, I called Pete McCauley to get a ride through the Secret Service positions around the building, and to put us on a list to get out and get back in. We drove through their barricades, down the empty streets. A Humvee, with a 50-caliber machine gun, was on the corner of 17th and Pennsylvania. We stopped on the Roosevelt Bridge over the Potomac and watched the smoke, still rising from the Pentagon, lit by the floodlights that had been brought in. It gave me a chill. As we pulled up to my house in Arlington and shut off the car, we heard the drone of a heavy, four-engine aircraft. AWACS was circling. An hour later, as I dressed to go back in, I wondered again how many Al-Qaeda sleeper cells were there in the United States. I had long believed they existed. So had John O'Neill, who was now dead under tons of steel. So Dale Watson, who had tried to get the FBI to look for the sleepers. Were there still cells planning more attacks? Thousands had died. We in the West Wing had almost been among them. Now, we had the full attention of the bureaucracies and the full support of the president. I had to get back to the White House and begin planning to prevent follow-on attacks. I found my Secret Service-issued .357 sidearm, thrust it in my belt, and went back out into the night, back to the West Wing.